When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back for the Connor Happer Show here on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Time for a little MLB reaction overreaction. The writers have completed their duties upon request, of course. You don't realize when you guys request this segment that we have to go and, you know, wake these guys up and tell them to actually get off their butts and do their job.
Can we pick the wrappers up next week, guys? Yeah. Like, come on. Like, everybody's got to work here.
When they do work, when they do apply themselves, it's usually good stuff.
Oh, definitely.
But we just have to get – they're just lazy. So
it takes a while to get them started.
Yep.
But you ball up a piece of tinfoil, you throw it in the room, and they're usually good to go after that.
Well, looks like they've come up with some stuff for us today, Josh.
The Padres are just throwing stuff at a wall to see if it sticks at this point.
Yeah, I think this is an appropriate reaction.
Feels pretty close, right?
So on the trade that happened last week, Luis Arraez just really doesn't really do it for me. I think the regression to the mean is coming from an average standpoint. It doesn't really give you much else. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know the prospects that the Marlins got in return here. It's not really about that in baseball. It's about kind of just what the big piece is and what you get. And the team that's trying to acquire them and their chances of making the playoffs. But it makes sense that they're the team to jump at Arraez. Like, most trade targets are either big bats or big bullpen arms or provide some sort of flexibility. Luis Arraez is really none of those. However, he doesn't strike out, and he gets on base a lot, which is nice.
He's going to get you a lot of singles, and the Marlins said, hey, if you take him, we'll pay him.
Yeah, they bought his contract down to nothing.
So, I mean, I guess it's worth the shot, right?
Sure. I mean, like, if you're the Padres, it feels like you're trying the hardest you can to keep your window open.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Marlins, you know that your window is several years away. So let's sell off any valuable pieces we have. We can pay the money, whatever it might be, and let's get prospects in return to try and rebuild this thing. So yeah,
200 hits last year.
Yeah, I mean he's a good bat, but usually once again in trade pieces, you're looking for something specific.
Right.
And in this case, it's really not. It's really, it doesn't give you much lineup flexibility. And he's not going to hit any home runs. He's just going to get a couple hits a day. I'm not trying to make that sound like a bad thing. I'm not trying to sound like analytics nerd here where we pretend that hitting 350 in a season is a bad thing. Like, it's not. But he's also aging and is on the back end of this really good run that he's had over the last few years too.
They've had him for, if I'm reading this right, it looks like they've had him for 3 games. They've used him as the DH 2 of those games.
Yeah, that's what he's going to be.
Yeah.
He's going to be a DH or a first baseman. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the story.
They had him playing second the other time.
Or second.
Right.
As well.
Take number 2. By the time we do this segment next week, Paul Skeens, or Skleens, will be a big leaguer.
Well, I don't know what the weight is. It's hard. It's not like he needs to do anything else
right
in Indianapolis to become a big leaguer.
It's just
so there's really
do
yeah,
it.
There's really no logic to this whatsoever. But there's a couple interesting points in it. So just for context. Currently in AAA so far this year, he's pitched 27 in the third innings. He's got a .99 ERA.
Storm Chaser scored on him.
And a former Creighton Blue Jay took him deep.
Oh, really?
This is either last night or two nights ago. Yes, first time anybody's hit a home run off of him in AAA.
First trip to Dongtown.
Daniel Robertson, yeah. 45 strikeouts to 8 walks. So he's been dominant, right? There's nothing. Mm-hmm. He's checked all the boxes. Here's Pirates manager Derek Shelton the other day. Quote, this is actually yesterday. Quote, he's scheduled to pitch in Indy this week. I think with him, there was speculation that he was going to pitch in this series for the Pirates or that he was going to pitch on Sunday. I think when you have someone that's as talented as he is, there's going to be speculation. People always are going to have it figured out. Well, we haven't figured it out yet. Shelton said, the big leagues are hard. People don't just come here automatically click and go. We have to make sure that we're going to put him in the best position possible before we make the decision to put him in the big leagues. I would argue to that and say, like, okay, what are you looking for? What position do you need? Like, does he need to pitch in a day game? You know, like, basically what they're saying is he's major league ready. We just haven't figured out the right time to do it yet.
We just got to pull the trigger.
Yeah. We don't know when the right time is. And then there was a story that I was reading yesterday from J.J. Cooper of Baseball America, and it was centered around the idea of Paul Skene staying in AAA and having less of a workload in AAA. And it was kind of interesting in some of the anecdotal points that he brought up. Basically, it was guys who have had their workloads limited in the minor leagues because they know that those guys are going to be future big leaguers and they'll need to get innings out of them when they're in the big leagues, have actually gotten injured at a higher rate than those who just pitched higher workloads throughout their career. Hmm. Shocking, I know, right? It's almost like when you tackle in practice, you're better at tackling in the games. Yeah, it's kind of odd. So he brought up a couple a bunch of different examples of guys who actually have proven to be durable and learned early in their careers on how to carry a heavy workload. MLB pitchers through 2023 who had thrown 150 or more innings in several consecutive seasons, counting minor league work and excluding the 2020 season. Max Scherzer's done it in 15 straight seasons, 150 innings. 11 straight seasons for Kyle Gibson, 9 straight seasons for Jose Berríos, 8 straight seasons for Patrick Corbin, 7 straight seasons for Sandy Alcantara, Luis Castillo, Garrett Cole, Lucas Giolito, Charlie Morton, Aaron Nola. Now, some of those guys have been hurt, but they strung together at least 7 consecutive years in which they pitched 150 innings, which is not, you know, nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot. 200 innings used to be this, like, you know, it's the holy grail for baseball pitchers and innings. And then you use Hunter Green as the example in the contrary, where he had his innings shortened because he was coming off of Tommy John, and, you know, they just took it really, really slow with him. And they wanted to be really careful with him as well. So there's a bunch of different ways to approach it. I think clubs need to come to the understanding that no matter what you do, you don't know what's going to happen on the other side. So right. It's probably best off that you just do it.
It seems like there's no, it seems very random. So
it's
might as well just,
it's not, but like, it's also not random.
Right.
Right. So like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Do you know the last time Paul Skene's pitched? Do you have that like in front of you?
No.
Okay. Cause I'm looking at the Pirates schedule. They're obviously going to trot him out at a home game first, right?
I don't know. I mean, don't have to.
You don't have to, but God, it would make sense to me just from a money-making perspective.
Well, I mean, does that matter?
Does making money matter?
Yeah, you're a baseball team. You're going to win games. Win games.
I think the Pirates would like to make money with Paul Skene's.
Dude,
while
they're
going to
make money in his second start with
while
it's in
they
Pittsburgh,
have
too.
Paul Skene's.
They're going to have Paul Skene's for a long time.
Yeah, are they?
Paul Skenes last pitched on Sunday.
Sunday, okay. So the series against the Angels is out. They have a weekend home series against the Cubs. That feels quick, but I guess it is possible.
Oh, he could pitch next weekend.
Yeah.
He could pitch anywhere in the world this coming weekend. Yeah.
And then you're on the road at Milwaukee, at Wrigley, and then back home against the Giants and Braves.
There's no better time to do it than right now. He's done everything.
Everyone who covers baseball is saying there is no reason for him to be down there. Now they're not going with the service time manipulation.
No.
Accusation. They're just saying like, okay, we've seen enough. It's time.
Yep, that'll do it.
And the Pirates agree. Okay, fine. Yeah. Next week he'll be in the big leagues.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm. Take number three. The AL Central is in the top half of divisions in baseball.
Okay. So the Guardians are 23-12. The Minnesota Twins just got done winning 12 games in a row. They're up to 20-14. The Kansas City Royals are 21-15. These are all and the Detroit Tigers are 18-17, and the White Sox suck. No excuse for that one.
No hiding that.
So I think basically how you want to do this is say, like, which division has the most, like, real-life contender teams, right? The NL East has two. Division, Josh, has two. The Phillies and Braves are both real-life contender teams that are both very good out of the gate.
Anybody want to step up and beat the Phillies? That'd be great.
The NL West has one.
That is correct.
The NL Central might have zero.
I would say zero, yes.
The AL,
now, are we talking? We're talking world championship potential.
Yeah, like, okay, then you just tear them out from there.
Uh-huh.
The AL East has possibly two.
Yeah, I would say two. Two feels right.
The AL Central has zero.
Right.
The AL West appears to have zero, I believe, at this moment.
Today, that is where I stand. Now, the Rangers, their entire rotation is injured.
So you could take the AL East and the NL East out. And then you can kind of go from there. The Guardians, Twins, and the Royals, according to basically everybody right now, are three of the top 10 to 12 teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm. It is the only division in the sport with three 20-game winners right now. Now, I understand. A lot of those teams are playing the White Sox. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you get there. You can only play what your schedule is.
Call me a homer, call me whatever. Like, I think that each of those teams has its fair share of staying power. They could they could hang in the 500 range for the majority of the year, if not all of it. I don't know that any of them are World Series contenders. In fact, I don't think any of them are. But I would take the depth in that division and the toughness that it would take to win that division over what it would take to win, say, the NL Central, or hell, even finish second place in the NL West, right?
The NL West and the AL West are just going to beat each other up all year long. The NL Central is not good. The AL East and the NL East are good. So it really, are you asking the AL Central, is it the third or the fourth best division in the sport?
That's basically right on the line.
Yep, right on the line. And
not an overreaction, Josh.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Not an overreaction.
Take number four. Shohei Ohtani is actually more valuable when he's just hitting.
I've seen this question or a variation of this question being asked over the last couple of days. In case you were wondering, Shohei Ohtani leads baseball in batting average and home runs. He is, which are big stats, he is in the 100th percentile in the following advanced categories: weighted expected on base percentage. I think that's what that, I might have typed that in wrong. Expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, expected, barrel percentage, amount of times you're just, you know, hitting the baseball on the barrel, and hard hit rate. The 100th percentile means that there's nobody who does it better than him. He's in the 99th percentile in average exit velocity and in the 98th percentile in sweet spot percentage. Basically, what I'm telling you is nobody hit ball better than him. Now, the question that we're asking is, did anybody hit ball better than him when he was both pitching and hitting? And the answer to that is yes. But is his value more being the best hitter in baseball, period, 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 compared to being a top 10-ish pitcher in baseball and a top 10-ish hitter in baseball?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking.
I know. Take all the time you need.
Well, it's bad radio.
I don't think he's more valuable, but I really think there is something to letting him DH every day, hit absolute tanks, scream the ball wherever he wants to, and not have to worry about, you know, pitching. Could he still do it at an incredible level? Of course. Could you still use that for your team? Well, maybe. If you're the Dodgers, your rotation's already stacked up.
Yeah.
Why not make him a freakazoid hitter and let your lineup just absolutely wreck everybody? Like, it's the perfect situation.
The dual threat is going to end at some time. Eventually, the...
Well, why do you bring him back at this point? Why do you bring him back to pitch?
Right. Or his body is going to say, I can't do both anymore. I need to pick one. And he is on a team that has the benefit of a good rotation, right? So
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't pitch anymore.
I think that's the way you go. It'd be nice to know you were getting like the last run of Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher. Like, it'd be nice to have that, but that's just me being a fan.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe there's spots for him, but
on that team, there's no reason for him to be doing
both. He is an incredible hitter when he's just hitting and doesn't have to do anything else.
Now, if the Dodgers want to like manipulate some payroll, like, well, we've got an ace in Shohei Ohtani, like, we don't need to pay Walker Buehler. We don't need to pay James Paxton. Like, we don't.
They're not going to do that, clearly.
Right.
They could pay anybody who they want.
Right. They're the Dodgers. They have money. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to pitch anymore.
On to the baseball savant corner.
Ooh,
a couple of things.
Cozy corner.
Ezekiel Tovar leads the league in out of the zone swings, 130, and out of the zone swings and misses, 72. Basically, this guy swings at everything.
Everything.
That is Nick Grimm's favorite player, Ezekiel Tovar. Oh, Angels starter Jose Soriano leads baseball in average four-seam fastball miles per hour. 99.1 goes his average fastball miles per hour. Yes, 99.1 is very fast.
So watch his elbow.
Mookie Betts leads baseball, this is a good stat, in pitches seen.
Oh, what a great stat.
He has seen the most pitches, 699.
That's such an underrated thing, like working the count and just keep hacking away, poke a ball foul, yeah, keep the count alive.
Yeah. Thank you, baseball savant.
And Mookie Betts has already won the NL MVP this year.
And then I took a look down at our slowest players in baseball, the three players with the slowest sprint speeds in baseball.
Oh, wow.
All tied. Anthony Rizzo.
Okay, that was the guy I was thinking of.
Salvador Perez.
Schwarber?
And, no, he is in the top 10. Elias Diaz.
Bottom 10.
Our top 10 slowest. Yeah, whatever it is. Bottom 10.
Okay.
Anthony Rizzo, Salvador Perez, and Elias Diaz.
Well, Salvi's doing a lot of sprinting this season.
He is running more, that's for sure. He's also walking more. Which is very, very nice.
Oh, look at that. Nick's catcher is on this list. Okay.
Elias Diaz. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 The Rockies are bad. That's what Baseball Savant is telling us.
That is Baseball Savant Corner. I'll take you through some random stats every single week.
I like that.
Jacob Bigelow will join us at the top of the hour. We still have plenty to come. We will return with some with a little college basketball news.
Hoops.
Welcome to the Big East, somebody in the transfer portal who was maybe already in the Big East.
Oh.
Next on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.